HKX, over.
HKX, this is WB4ZPH.
This is Patrick on this end.
This is David. I checked in earlier this week while you were running the net. Hope you're doing well.
I'm heading home. How about yourself? And I thought I remembered to call, but still new enough that I don't remember it 100%.
No worries. I'm doing well also. It sounds like you're getting better if you're on your way home. But heard you call and just wanted to respond. I've not been as active in radio for several years, but got an antenna up here at the house now, so I'm getting back into it, I think.
How long have you had your license?
My tech license in 2011, and then a little over a month later, I got my general license. So I've had the license for a while, and years ago, I used to keep a 2-meter 440 radio in the vehicle and check into the nets and talk a little bit. But this is my first time setting up a radio in the house.
Well, glad to have you, and look forward to talking to you many times on down the log. I'm out here pretty much every day. I run a mobile tool route, so I'm in and out and run around the repeater pretty much all the time.
Good repeater. I even before I got my license back in 2011, I used to listen in on the frequency with an older Radio Shack scanner that I had. So while I was studying for my license, I would listen into the net and listen into the repeater. Yeah, it's a good repeater, and I'm glad I'm able to make it in with my current setup.
And beautiful. Wouldn't change anything with your setup. So what do you do for a living, David? Are you still working, or are you retired, or what are you up to?
Retired. I long for that day, but maybe when it comes, I won't want it as bad. I'm an IT manager, so I've been working in IT and mostly with a focus on networking and network administration for almost 15 years now.
Then you'll like Floyd. He does a lot of the same stuff.
Something new, that's for sure. I'm the IT manager for the airport for GSP, so it's always something exciting and new there, it seems like, every day.
That, and everything is an emergency, too.
I've had and experienced my fair share of emergencies there. I do my best and do my part to encourage or discourage emergencies and encourage, preparation ahead of time to prevent emergencies, but they just come. I think that's probably true in any profession, emergencies, or maybe the reason why most of us are employed.
It depends on what you consider an emergency, but yes, that's probably the reason for a lot of it.
Patrick, what is it that you do for a living? I think you mentioned you drive a tool route, is that right?
I own a Matco tool franchise, so I run it Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, and then Friday is, I use it more of an office day and kind of whatever needs to be done.
Very neat. So do you, just in the upstate area, is mainly your route and your customers are in the upstate area?
Roger that. There's actually, I think, 10 of us now up here in the upstate, just the Matco flag. So we all have our own little dedicated route to take care of. But I live up in Brevard, North Carolina, just across the state line.
Spend plenty of time on the road, it sounds like. I used to live not very far from the North Carolina line myself. I'm in Taylor's, so I live in Taylor's now, but I grew up really in Landrum. Over.
And I was in the Taylor's area today. That was the area I was servicing.
It's, I'm really right near Lake Robinson. I have Taylor's address, but I guess it's hardly Taylor's. We're almost Blue Ridge area, but, you know, we're just a few minutes from the boat ramp at Lake Robinson and in a little subdivision here. So what I'm talking to you on is a 2-meter J-pole in my attic because the HOA, I don't think they'd have it any other way.
Hi there, I come up 101. I'm heading up to Highway 11 now.
Well, be careful out there. What sort of tools do you sell most frequently? I'm just curious.
The basic hand tools is the most frequent thing, but I do a lot of specialty tools also, you know, that, but they're generally, you order that in because you don't want to stock a lot of it unless it's something that's repetitive, because the specialty tools, you can get hung with it real quick and have a lot of money tied up.
Stand. Yeah, both of my brothers are mechanics, so I don't know. Maybe one day in the past or one day in the present, you'll cross paths with them. Both of them are diesel mechanics.
That's what I did before this. Is I was a diesel mechanic for Ford and GM.
That's an interesting experience, I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know that I have the patience for mechanics. I'm not very mechanically inclined, so I'm fortunate to have two brothers that are, and they can rein my patience in when I need a little help.
And the cars are getting much more technical than they used to be. Pretty much, you're an IT guy, just like you were talking along with a mechanic.
Yeah, getting to that point for sure. They're becoming more computer than they are motor, almost, it seems like.
Comes with them all anyway. It seems like that's the vast majority of the problems is the electrical side of things and the computer networking.
It is fascinating just to see how, you know, over time, the automobile has morphed into what it is. There's so much more of it that's electrical and computational than it is mechanical, it seems, sometimes. And then, you know, they're getting to the point that, you know, you do have to have, like you said, a specialty mechanic to help you out with some things, or you have to really bite the bullet and go to the dealership for some help.
And it's getting more that way, and dealerships are pushing it that way too, and the manufacturers, not the dealerships. You know, that's why they have to keep being sued for the right to repair, because they don't want to release the information or the parts to do it.
Proprietary information is a valuable thing. WB4ZPH.
HGX. It is. And I get trying to protect it, but, I mean, that's part of selling a product. You got to have a way to repair it, and you can't be just the only one to do it, because then you got a monopoly, and you shouldn't have those in this country, at least.
But I think, you know, it seems so frequently that there's a consumption culture almost, you know, so things are not being made to last longer, and it's driving the culture to consume more or purchase more. So you just replace things rather than repairing things. At least that's how it seems the psychology is going.
And the fact that what it costs to repair something now has a lot to do with that too, if you can even get the parts to repair it. I mean, you take a diesel truck now, you accidentally dump DEF in the fuel tank and just hit the switch. You ain't even got to start it. Just hit the switch. And you just spent 20 grand.
Like an expensive accident.
Very expensive accident. The whole fuel system has to be replaced. Tank, line, pump, injectors, all of it. Has to be replaced for contamination.
Thinking about replacing all those parts on some vehicle.
The mechanic that walks in and tells the customer, oh, it's going to be $20,000 to fix your car, and I'm not even replacing a major part of it.
It's just to deliver, I'm sure. I would not want to be the one to have to explain that.
Well, they made a very simple mistake.
That's tough there. So, you called the net a couple nights this week. Do you regularly call the net at least a couple nights or just every so often?
My normal night is a Sunday night, but we're short net controllers. So, we're just picking it up where we have to. We need a Monday night net controller for the last two Mondays of the month. We need a Friday night net controller for two nights, two Friday nights, and then a couple Saturday night net controllers that I know of off the top of my head. But the net control manager, he's out right now. He's having some medical stuff done, and we're just doing what we got to do to help him out.
It's tough, I guess, when they're, you know, when you're down somebody for the schedule. Do you enjoy running the net? It sounds interesting. I can't help but be curious. So many years I've listened to the net or I've checked into the net. I've always been curious. What's going on the other side?
You probably love it. It's interesting. It can be a little nerve-wracking to start with, trying to get everybody's calls down and put in right. But Dave has wrote a program to do that. And it's, like I said, if you're an IT guy, it's probably right up your alley. So you probably love it. If you ever thought about giving it a try, just sit down one night when we're calling the net and with a piece of paper or Excel if you're used to it, and just see if you can keep up with the call signs and, you know, practice at it. And if you're ever interested in it, I know there's openings.
Let's keep that in mind. Yeah, I appreciate the information and the vote of confidence. I've listened, like I said, I've listened to this frequency for years and listened to the net and checked into the net some when I had my mobile rig set up. But I tell friends and family, and I have an uncle who has his extra class license, and I've told him before, you know, well, they run a nightly net 365 days a year, and, you know, people are just surprised that the net is ran so frequently. But I think it's valuable and a good thing.
And from my understanding, it's the longest running net. So I'm not sure if it's net in the country or East Coast or what, but I know it's been running for quite some time. If KI4DOS is around Gary, he could probably fill you in on that information a little better than I could.
Giving a break to see if maybe he was around, but his call is familiar to me. Like I said earlier, you know, back in 2011 when I was studying, I remember hearing him call the net back then. So he's definitely been, you know, been a pillar, it seems like, to the net, which is commendable.
I know since I've got in the hobby, he has helped me tremendously. And there's lots of great people on here throughout the day and the evenings and weekends. If you need help with anything, it's typically here you can find it. But Gary calls the Wednesday night net and the swap net. He's took it over. But I think he said he'd been calling the net for, I think, 18 or 19 years now. So he's been doing it a little while.
Sounds like he's got plenty of practice in. which is good, you know, and he does a good job. All you guys do a good job on the net, and it's nice to be able to chat with you here outside of the net. I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed the hobby since I got in it. I got in it during the start of COVID in 2020, so I've only had my license coming up on 4 years, and I don't know, I've met just the wealth of great people. I just left Tom's house, Tom and Bernice, sat and talked with them for a little while. Tom is on here, N0TR. He's another older ham that is great wealth of knowledge to help you out if you need something, or just a great guy to talk to.
Sounds familiar too. I think I've heard him on before, and he does, when I have heard him, he does seem like a quite the gentleman, and a good conversationalist too, it sounds like.
Yes, and he doesn't live too far from Lake Robinson, so you and him are practically neighbors, but he's a great guy, and so is Miss Bernice. She's got her hands full keeping him straight, though.
It's a trial for some, I would say. It's probably a trial for my wife sometimes, too. But it's a special thing, marriage.
I've been married 28 years this year, so I've got my practice in at it, that's for sure.
Do you operate any on HF, Patrick? I'm trying to get into it, but I'm at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, in a HOA, so I'm trying to do it without hurting anybody's feelings or upsetting anybody's visual aesthetics. So I've been poking around doing a little research and trying to figure out how to get on HF inside a attic space, basically.
HKX. Well, I guarantee you, if you come in on the net, there'll be somebody around that can figure you out on that, or figure you in on how to do that, because there's others on here that have dealt with it, I know. And I'm capable. I'm a general class, but honestly, I don't do a whole lot with HF. I like the conversation part of it, the rag chew, more than I do just getting on and making a contact and moving on. And my experience with HF, that's all anybody cares about anymore, is just grabbing your call sign and moving on. And I don't know, that's just not for me.
I would have to agree with you on that part. I've listened in a little bit this past Saturday, and I guess it was field day, so there was a lot of that going on. But I'm trying to figure out how to get on HF, because my uncle that I mentioned earlier, he's in Florida. And I actually took his call, the WB4ZPH. I'll give my call there. But I took that call from him as a vanity, because he took his uncle's call as a vanity call. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to be able to hook up with him somehow on HF.
To do it, I mean, and depending on how strict the HOA is, you could run some of these little wire antennas around there, and they would never even know it's up. Unless they seen you putting it up, that's the only way they're going to know. And then there's the flagpole. A lot of people turn their gutters into an antenna. Some people put up HF antennas in their attic. So, I mean, there's any number of ways of hiding it. It's just, there's lots of creativity about doing that. So don't get discouraged on that part of it.
I've heard a little bit about the gutter stuff and flagpole stuff, or, you know, those options. I did a little bit of research, and I don't know, maybe I'm going down the wrong vein, but it sounds like from some of the research I've done, some videos and some forums I've seen, that some hams have had success with mag loop antennas in their attic. So I'm still toying with several ideas and trying to do my due diligence to make the right choice.
I don't have any experience at all with the Mag Loop. I know what it is, and I've watched a couple of videos on it, trying to learn a little bit, but I don't know anybody right off the top of my head that uses it. But I'm, like I say, if you ask around, and there's probably somebody out there listening to us right now that could come in here, but typically this time of evening, there's not much on here. Everybody's having dinner or spending time with family and that kind of thing. So I find there's not a whole lot of people on here when I'm heading home usually.
I hadn't eaten a substantive lunch. I'd probably be eating dinner now, but I'm going to give it a break for a little while as far as eating goes. But yeah, I guess we'll see what I can come up with. How's your drive in the traffic? Hopefully it's favorable.
I don't deal with a whole lot of traffic on the way home. I was cutting from 101 up through the country to a Highway 11. So the only thing I really have to worry about is the narrow little roads and the trees hanging down driving this big old truck. And I'm just getting ready to pull up to where I switch vehicles and move over to my personal vehicle to head home. So I'm going to make this my last transmission until I switch vehicles, and then I'll be back. So it was good to talk to you tonight, David, and I hope I got your name right. I'm pretty sure it's David. It'll take me a little while to get used to it. But just another piece of information, there's a morning crew that gets on here. Typically, we get on here about 5:30 in the morning, and we're all driving into work. So if you got a mobile rig in there, you're welcome in any morning.
Thank you, Patrick. I've enjoyed the conversation. Be careful on the rest of your way home. KO4HKX, this is WB4ZPH.
KO4HKX, now be clear.